Welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name's Max.
And I'm Sam.
And we are coming back at you, episode 52. That is the end of year two of Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. Sam, how's that make you feel?
It makes me feel happy.
Happy?
Yeah.
You're happy you're done?
No, we're not done.
Oh, okay.
We're going to still have season three.
Oh, we're going to keep just plugging away here.
Yeah.
Infinite seasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. There's no finite number. There's no end goal.
Infinite is quite a big commitment.
So we are going to talk over 2025, the year in Lorcana, the year in review. We want to talk about some different topics. We want to talk about some things that are a little bit more micro-focused to the podcast here you're listening to. And we want to talk about some things that we're excited about for next year. So if this is your first time, welcome on in. Glad you found us. Happy you're here. If you're coming back, glad to have you back. You haven't learned your lesson yet. So let's start going over some things. I'm going to shoot out a topic about something in the world of Lorcana that happened in 2025, Sam, and you're going to tell me if it's a win or a loss in your opinion. Is it an L? Is it a W? Is it an L and a W mixed together into some kind of weird letter that doesn't exist?
Okay.
We're going to find that out right now. So the first topic I'm going to bring up, the first ever Lorcana World Championship, WL or a mix of W and L.
I would say it was probably mostly a loss.
I agree.
I think there was some wins. Like, I do think it was kind of cool that it got streamed and that it was a big deal. We had it casted. I think they did a good job. But I think the loss was, one, like how long it took to get announced, and two, it was closed to the public.
Yes. Those were definitely some L's in there. I think a W coming out of Worlds, in my opinion, were the formats.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
Both, I think, were really neat to see. I think that that was the biggest win. I think that the myriad of losses that came alongside of it were definitely a little bit of a blow. But overall, I think that the, like you said, the coverage was really good. Closed to the public kind of stinks because they were touting that so much as this was going to be like a big, a lot of trading card game world celebrations generally have this large kind of celebratory momentum going on around the main event. So I would have loved to have seen that, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means it couldn't happen for the first world. So moving on from there, I think that this one, I have a prediction, will be a W, moving from the two-game format to a best-of-three format.
Yeah, definitely a W there.
I think so, too. I did not have to endure a DLC where they had the two-game format, and I did not have to endure the more recent Singapore, which was a one-game format. But I can tell you from a lot of playing and testing and smaller tournaments that did take on the two-game format, it was a largely unrewarding system, not really determining, felt like at times, who a true winner was. And the point spread was just very, very volatile. If you were able to sweep, it was so much more important, to the point where in the last several rounds, people who were potentially on the bubble at DLCs, I know, were just going, let's just play a game and just give the clean 2-0 to whoever wins because it's that important. So I'm glad they moved away from that, considering they wanted to move away from wheelings and dealings as an option in the game. I think that the two-game format, whether you liked it more or less, did promote more of that happening, where I think now it's just going to be more intentional draws are happening, which is a known quantity in the trading card game space. You just kind of, hey, we're both XO. Now's the time where we can go draw and get in. I think you're going to see less weirdness than we saw with the two-game format when it came to, hey, should we just do a like clean sweep and whoever wins the first game wins the whole set kind of thing, where it became so weird because of the points that it made things more awkward and I think worked against ultimately what their goal was.
Yeah.
So moving on to the next one, Sam, this one is a little bit away from competitive play and more into the collecting and cool factor of the cards. Let's talk about epic and iconic rarities. Is that a W or an L for you?
I think largely it's a win, especially in Fabled. I thought the iconics were really cool. The epics have been a little underwhelming for most people. I still think it's cool. It gives you a little bit, you know, bling to your deck, but I would say overall it's definitely a win.
You appreciate luxury cardboard rectangles, so what you're saying is the more chances of luxury cardboard rectangles, the better for you.
Yeah.
I think that it doesn't hurt me in any way as a competitive player. doesn't impact me much. I agree with you on the epics. I think of the epics that they've picked, maybe like 10% of them, 5% of them, something, one or two, are generally ones that are sought after. I think the rest kind of go as just, if you're a collector, have at it. Or if you're playing a niche deck that might want these cards, then cool. But I think largely the choices of the cards was the biggest drawback for an epic. I think the frame itself is fine. It's nothing that blows me away, but it's cool and it makes opening a pack more fun. So I think overall I am for it. I think the iconics are very awesome, but they are very hard to come by as well. The pull rates on them are extremely low. So it does give, I think, a little bit more incentive for people to grab a blister pack when they're out at the big box retailers or at their local game stores to spend a little bit more on an extra pack or two for the off chance that you might find the big, big prize. So very exciting stuff. I agree, largely a W there. Now we're going to talk about specifically the sets. Each of these sets, was this a more of a W or was this more of an L for you? So the first set up is our Chase's Island, the first set that we had in 2025.
I think overall the set was kind of underwhelming. I did enjoy having the dual ink. Yeah, so that was probably the best part of Arcadia's Island, but as far as I can remember, I think the set was kind of meh.
It's got some stuff, but not an overwhelming amount of cards that are seeing their way into play. I think that most of the sets have a pretty finite number of cards that see their, or a percentage of cards that see their way into competitive play. And I don't think Arcadia's Island is any more or less. I think the most underwhelming set that's currently legal in core construction post-rotation is probably Azurite Sea, seeing very few cards get played, but some of the more powerful cards getting played, like Genie. But overall, I think that one's pretty weak. But Chase's felt it was cool. I think some of the dual ink identities or things that we're doing were a little off the mark. So I think that ended up hurting it a little bit. But overall, it was a fun set. So I'd say, I guess, a W.
Okay.
Moving on to Reign of Jafar. Is that a W or an L for you?
I think it's kind of along the same lines as what we just talked about.
I agree. I think the set, largely, I can't remember which one's in which set because Reign of Jafar also included dual inks. So I just can't remember which thing is in which set. So I just go, hey, between those two sets, I'll probably figure it out if it's something dual ink related. Shimmering Skies, for some reason, it's very easy for me to identify what cards are in it. And Azurite Sea is pretty obvious as well because the themes are so deeply rooted in the cards as well as the art and everything. It's just easy for me to look at the card and go, okay, I know what set that's from. These two sets, for whatever reason, I can't tell them apart.
Yeah.
So I'd say, yeah, they're both fine. All right. A little bit more in terms of set, a little bit more hot takey perhaps, Fabled.
Fabled, I think, collective-wise, was definitely a big win. As far as constructed, it was kind of a loss. We got a couple, I mean, we got Dumbo, which is an awesome card. We got a couple really good cards in that set. But overall, I mean, we had, what was it, 170 reprints? Something close to that. So it was just kind of like underwhelming for the competitive player. But I guess I'd give it an overall a W.
The art was cool. It had Goofy Movie in it. It had a significant amount of reprints and the fact that it dictated how rotation was going to be. It's hard to say that the set was a loss. Lord knows I bought way too much of it, but I didn't need any of it. But I don't really need any of these things, right? We've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast. This is very much a luxury hobby. So, but I did buy way too much of that, all being said. But I think it's a fun set. It's still a fun set to grab a pack or two of if you see it hanging around because there was a scarcity issue involved, which makes it a little rough. But it is fun to open packs of the set compared to, I think, some of the previously mentioned sets. So I can't not give it a W.
I was surprised at how fun it was to open this set considering most of the cards we already had.
Yes. Next set is the most current set at time of recording, which is Whispers in the Well.
Out of the four, this is definitely my favorite, so I'd call this one a win.
Yeah, I think this is the best set in terms of like seeing the new direction they're moving with how the game is being not redesigned, but updated or modernized or rebalanced. I think that from a design perspective, this set knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I definitely think that this set has changed competitive play more than any other set we've had.
Yeah, it's significant, the impact that a lot of cards have had. We've even seen Ruby getting back into the playable camp with the addition of cards from this particular set. So I think on the whole, we're seeing things like Boost utilized a ton, especially on cards like Cheshire Cat. We're seeing a bunch of the cards make huge impact Encore constructed, like you said, in a way that's relatively significant, because now we're actually seeing what the developers and game designers have intended to re-sculpt and redesign the game to look like. Even cards like Lexington and Black Heron making a huge impact, being just overly statted characters with very little to no abilities, have been making their impact known through Core Constructed for sure. Coming up next, we're talking about the Season 2 of the Disney Lorcana Challenge series. So this is all of Season 2 as a whole when it was announced at Worlds. Do you think this was a W or an L?
I think it's a little of both in this one. W's would be the fact that they have expanded to different countries and there's more, but losses would be like in the US, we have only 3 and they're all kind of in one portion of the US. They didn't increase the cap sizes. Well, okay, for the US, they didn't increase the cap sizes. It's kind of controversial, I think. A lot of people were upset with Season 2 DLC news.
Yeah, I think underwhelming is the tone coming away from it, but I do think there are positives layered in there. The expanding to other parts of the world is huge. I think that the other really big takeaway from this is how flexible they've been with changing things and trying to update things. In the US, we now have a new tournament organizer who's in charge of these events. So the hope is that this is all kind of tied to the fact that there are growing pains coming out of Season 1 of the DLCs and we're trying to move to something better. But we have this interim time of we have to kind of deal with what we have in the smaller and less improved style that we have to deal with it in. Until hopefully we get to see really what Ravensburger can do in terms of competitive play and stretches its wings fully in Season 3. And that's my hope. And we'll get into hopes, but that's one thing I'm like really got my fingers crossed for. Related to this was the announcement of the challenge qualifier events. So these are the CCQs, as they've come to be coined, and these are slightly smaller events that are happening throughout the world as well that will get you a place at the Continentals. So that's pretty exciting and a pretty crazy way to get into a much higher level tournament, not having to top finish at a DLC to do it.
Yeah, so this one's definitely a win, just giving us another competitive event to go to. And they also have been giving out like promos that are giving out the DLCs at the CCQs, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that one thing that Ravensburger should be embracing more is an undercarriage to Worlds, right? If you watch or have dealt with other trading card games or other competitive games, especially like esport games, you'll see that a lot of people at the highest level have taken different paths, and they'll highlight this and it helps build a narrative so you get to know the players who are consistently performing well. So it's, what was the path to Worlds for this player? Everybody's path is a little bit different. Some people are going to get there through trying to ram their head against the wall, getting knocked on their butt, standing up and running back into the wall a bunch of times and grinding their way there. Some people are just naturally talented and gifted and have an ability in the game and can get there through these large competitive events. But I really think, and I hope, seeing these CCQs is a positive note that we're going to see more ways for people to qualify to get into these higher level tournaments other than just having to cross your fingers and hope that you can do really, really well at a really large scale event. Because I think that there should be other ways to reward players for playing the game at a competitive level. And this, I think, is a W for sure, showing that they're thinking about that as well. It's encouraging. Next up is set rotation / the creation of the Infinity format. Sam, is this a W or an L for you?
Well, the Infinity format, I think, has largely been an L.
Up until, hopefully, this last round in US and Europe for yeah. The DLC, really.
I mean, we saw it with the special event we had this month.
Infinity Weekend.
Yes, it really did not get much attendance.
No.
And I just haven't really seen much favorable opinions of the Infinity format. But I know that they've mentioned on the Lorecast that they're hoping to give more support to this format, and hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah, it's just, I want to put this one bluntly because I can dance around it, but I'm not going to. You have to incentivize the players to play the format you want them to play. If you want this to be a real format, you have to prize it. You have to have large tournaments for it, and you have to do something other than give people a participation card for showing up. Just the way it is. This should have definitely included something along with the whole new worlds Not saying it should be a foil hole in the world. That should definitely be relegated to worlds. There should have been something for the players, a playmat, a pin, something to incentivize them to want to show up and participate. We know of many in the area that didn't even fire. People just showed up, played a couple games with the three or four people who showed up, got 12 whole new world promos and left. Not a success, for sure. So I'd say that's an L. In my opinion, I'm also going to be blunt here. I think that rotation was a bit of an L for me. I don't like the fact that so many of the cards have deteriorated in value, have deteriorated in collectability, have deteriorated in interest. Just the Enchanted's basically holding down the value of what they had because they guaranteed they wouldn't be reprinted, which I think was extremely smart. So with Infinity, I think Ravensburger really needs Infinity to be a thing. It needs to be able to hold players' interests and have people innovating in the space, or else they risk a large portion of the game and the consumer confidence dying off, which could very well cripple the game moving forward. So as of right now, I am definitely a detractor when it comes to how they handled set rotation, but I think that the gameplay and the way it's evolved is really exciting from a game design standpoint. So I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic, but if I had to give a W or an L for this one's an L for me.
Makes sense.
Last two, we can kind of lump together a little bit or just quickly move through both because they're very similar. One is set champs. They're a little bit different now. We get cards for showing up and playing. We get cards for top aiding, and we have one playmat only. Is that an improvement?
Overall, no. I think that the second place playmat being gone is definitely a loss, and I think that the majority, if not all of the community, feels that way. But I do like that they've given us participation prizes. I do think it's nice that anybody who comes out will get a card.
Agreed.
But overall, I think that that is not as good as bad as the playmat being gone is.
Agreed. I think that there's still a hole where the game clearly wants to support people who want to come out and play casually, and the game wants to support people who want to come out and play competitively. And I think the big problem at the end of the day is they haven't incentivized casual play enough. Again, I said it a minute ago with the Infinity format. If you want players to come out and do things, you have to incentivize them to do it. You just have to. If you want to encourage stores to have a casual night and a competitive night, then you need to do that. You need to give them some examples of casual formats that they could hold at their store to see what their general community wants, and you need to prize that. Same way you do it with the league kits, which also, kind of transitioning into that one, have gotten a bit of an L lately because we're removing the pin prizing from the league kits, which was definitely an exciting thing to throw down your money for, in addition to store credit prizes if your LGS did that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think the only thing they really added was the stickers, which I think largely most people haven't really cared much about.
No, I think the outlook on the stickers has been negative. And I also think, from a personal perspective, the fact the stickers are shaped like the character pins were is so frustrating to me. Like, it just feels like they are rubbing salt in this wound where it's like, these could have been pins. Every time I look at one, I go, this could have been a pin. And it just frustrates me. If you want to do stickers, do a cool new design for the stickers. Don't just steal the templating from the pin and make it something that's a fraction of the cost to produce. Ugh, this one's of that, the losing the pins and the kits and not being incentivized with deck boxes, even like seasonal playmats. Maybe they get like four or something over the course of the season or something to reward some kind of tracking. Something that's not equivalent to the pins, and the fact they just gave you dozens and dozens of stickers that just are cheap knockoffs of the pins drives me insane. Biggest L on this list for me, or at least one of the biggest L's on this list for me, for sure.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen a lot of talk about people saying that their, you know, local league is dying out. Yeah. And I feel like them doing this is not going to help that.
Nope. I think that they need to double down and try to figure out something a little bit more grassroots to keep the game interest high, for sure. Other than just putting expensive lottery cards in the packs. So moving on to a little bit more personal to the podcast kind of topics, we have a few things we wanted to call out from this year that are pretty exciting. First and foremost, the Illumination podcast now has Team Illumination, which is unbelievably exciting.
Yeah.
The fact that people want to put on a jersey that features the podcast logo, and the way that our team has been supporting each other has been nothing but encouraging. And I think it really helps exemplify the goals that you and I have had in mind when we started the podcast in a way that I didn't think other people would want to jump on board with. But everybody who's been interested and has been supporting the team and the podcast itself with the growth we've been seeing and the kind words and feedback we've been getting has been extremely, extremely humbling, and it means a lot, I know, to me, and I'm sure it does to you. I'm not going to speak for you. You're right here with a microphone in front of you.
Yeah, it definitely means a lot. I've really enjoyed having other people to bounce ideas off and, you know, just kind of growing as a player, teammate. We can help each other out. It's been really awesome.
Yeah, our team's goal is to just do better, whether it's personally or as a team. We're not trying to spike crazy large tournaments. It's not a goal of ours to get somebody seated or winning worlds. It's just about every player on our team knows that there's something they want to accomplish. There's a step they want to take that's their next step, whether that's going to a DLC and winning a Mulan, whether that's going to a DLC and trying to get a Golden Mickey. All of those things are important, and the team is a way for all of us to help each other get to that next step, and that's what our team is all about. So it's a mix of all of us. Some of us are really good, some of us are new, some of us have been doing trading cards forever, but I think everybody on that team is committed to making sure that their goals are achieved and the other players on the team's goals are achieved too, and it's been extremely encouraging to see. So shout out to the team, and shout out to all the people giving us very kind feedback and nice words of encouragement. Really appreciate it. We also had some really good finishes this year across the board. Not just you and I, but the team in general have been really doing a good job of showing up and trying to push ourselves like we say we want to. So that's really exciting. I mean, from the start of the year on, whether it was through the first few sets of the year, our chases coming out, or the Hyrum ban, we've been putting up consistent finishes at a high level, I think, as often as we can get to a tournament in our area.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. And also, there's just been flat out more places having larger scale tournaments. I think that they're starting to see the Lorcana community, at least in the Northeast, is interested in larger prize, larger risk, larger reward style tournaments. So we're seeing like 5Ks and up in a lot of cases. I think it's great. And even at a smaller level, we're seeing probably not much smaller than a 1K if there's going to be an off tournament being held. So a lot of people really taking the game pretty seriously, and more opportunities to play the game is awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
So things we're excited for, Sam, what's the first thing we're excited for this year? We've been playing a lot of larger tournaments that we can get to.
Yeah, we're excited to go to our first DLC.
Oh my gosh, we got through the lottery. Yeah. That was daunting.
So as of time of recording, I think we're less than 2 weeks away.
Yes. So Sam, you're going to compete in the main event. I am still hoping that I can grab a last minute competitor badge. If not, I'll be jamming side events all weekend, which is totally fine. I just want to go see what this DLC is like firsthand. So I'm pumped for sure. Of course, there are definitely IPs coming out in 2026 that we are excited for. And one of them for me is Darkwing Duck. And we're going to get Darkwing Duck immediately in Winterspell. So that's going to be pretty awesome to see. And Sam, you're excited for something else too. A whole bunch of somethings.
Well, yeah, I'm excited for Pixar. I'm excited for Pocahontas. There's definitely a few IPs coming out that I'm pretty looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. The Pixar train has landed and it's going to be pretty crazy.
I think the only thing we know of so far, well, I guess Turning Red and Toy Story.
Yes. So both big gets for these upcoming sets in 2026. And season 3, DLC season, that'll be in the fall. I'm excited to see what the announcements look like as we end season 2 and move towards season 3. I'm really, like I said, my fingers really crossed that the new TOs in North America can help elevate what the DLC experience is so far. We can see more of them with more people in them. We're experimenting at Ghent in here in season 2, trying the multi-day layered style tournaments to try to get people, as many people as possible, in and playing at a competitive level is just phenomenal. I love to see it. So fingers crossed in a big, big way for that. And the last thing, kind of a small thing, but an important thing, is the impact and design of how limited Lorcana will work is supposedly being tweaked heavily and will be a lot different come Winterspell in terms of the gameplay itself. Supposedly will be much more thoughtful, deeper, and enjoyable. And I, for one, like that because I enjoy sealed. And you just, after the first 2 weeks of the set being out, you just don't ever see limited events. Where other trading card games, you will see drafts and sealed events and things that go through the span of the entire set, because limited in those games is almost a format you can master. It gets featured the same way we had it at Worlds for Lorconic. It's featured in other games. So being able to do traditional sealed and or like a booster draft experience at an extremely high level means that you have to be more of a specialist in the game of Lorcana, not just a very good constructed Lorcana player. So the idea of them introducing limited is extremely exciting and extremely dangerous, because I need basically no excuse to buy more product. And having limited to open and jam games is definitely an excuse to do it when it's more fun than just kind of like a very mid-range slugfest. Though I will say the Whispers limited was actually pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But I really would love to see limited events run through an entire set lifespan versus just the first 2 weeks of release while people are trying to hurry up and get the luxury cardboard rectangles they need for their decks. So that's all pretty darn exciting. What a second year for the podcast. What a year for Lorcana. I hope that the next year is even better than this year. Sam, what are you hoping for?
To keep questing.